NRP S2 E16, Learning to Draw. Hey everybody, welcome back. This week we're going to be talking about learning to draw. Now, before I discuss different things about drawing, let's talk about the right mindset to have when you come to art, because this is an important thing. A lot of the inner game of tennis kind of thing, the mindset of coming to making art. Because a lot of people, they think, oh, art is just this talent. It's people are shine this light down from the heavens and they have this ability, I'll never achieve it. And I'm here to tell you, horse bucky. That's drawing and making art is a skill. Now, this is important. People might have a knack and an ability to make art before they start training for it. They might have always been, you know, in the game early. But it's something that you have to practice. Even if you have some inherent talent, you still need to work and refine and make more and better art. Because there's a lot of people, they start in art school. I was the best artist in my high school. Good for you. Suck it up. Here's how you draw. But I just want to draw ponies. Or I want to draw the animes, you know. And they don't progress because all of a sudden it's this work that they never had to work for. They just always did it. And they don't understand, you know, they aren't willing to apply. There are people that have barely any talent at the beginning of a drawing class, and by, you know, the end of the semester, they have a lot of training and skill that they've picked up. And a lot of people, you know, if you have an inherent ability to draw, that's kind of like being, it's kind of like being an idiot savant in a way, where you don't know, you know, you can't explain how you do what you do. You know, and it's a good idea to have an understanding of why and how things work. Because if you can understand things, then you can reappropriate them, reposition them, rework them. And, you know, if you can only draw, you know, if you're the guy who can only draw cute babes, all right, well, we need to draw this, drawing of this dude in this class. So, let's talk about the right mindset. And the idea behind this is it has to be fun. You have to be free and allow yourself to fail. You know, a lot of there's an old saying, you're going to have 1,000 bad drawings in you, and once you get those out of your system, then we can move on to the good stuff. I like to think of it as, you know, you can always fix anything in a bad drawing, whether it be erasing it, whether it be starting over and copying something, or doing the things in Photoshop now, or you can just copy a part that you like and erase and obliterate anything and keep on moving. You know, you're just pushing values, you know, light and dark, lines and stuff like that. You can always fix anything. Don't wig out. Don't let anybody wig you out. Because this is another thing I've had. I've had some great professors who are very encouraging, and I've had others who, they'll tell you one thing, you'll do it, and they'll come back, and they'll tell you to go the other way, and it's like, make up your mind! I, as a student, don't understand you. And professors, you know, just like anybody else, they don't really know exactly what they want out of you either. They just want to try and push you in the right direction. And this is an important thing to remember when you're taking drawing classes, and it's an important thing to not be have somebody beat out of you your love for making art. You know, it's like, I have other abilities that I'm probably better at than drawing. But making art and stuff like that is what I enjoy. It's what I get a lot of fulfillment out of. And I've gotten better at it. I said, hey, I actually have some ability in this, and I can learn, and I want to be determined to not suck and make things better each time. So, you know, here's an interesting quote from Chuck Jones. He said he was really depressed in art school, and his favorite uncle was sitting there eating a piece of pie the backwards, you know, from the blunt end to the point. And he's like, you can't make a racehorse out of a pig, you know, I can't be an artist. All these people are great and leagues ahead of me. And then his uncle said, well, it is true, you can't make a racehorse out of a pig, but you can make a mighty fast pig. And as he said in his, you know, in Chuck-a-Muck, he said, "That was a destiny I could live with." This book could have been called Memoirs of a Mighty Fast Pig. And I think that's one of the most important things about art, is you don't judge yourself based on everybody around you and where they are in their game. You work on being you. And you know what? If people are smart and your work's good, maybe they'll like it. And if they don't, that's okay too. Now let's talk about modes and approaches to drawing. Now this is what we're talking about. Drawing, specifically. Making an image, either pencil or charcoal or pen on paper. Modes and approaches. I think the most simple thing is the line of action. This is where you draw a line that indicates how the character, the person, the whatever you're drawing is going towards. Because there's an oomph in the figure. You know, a person can be stretching out and looking heroic, or they can be recoiled and tiny. And you get that motion. It's the simplest form. It's just a line. And it's also a matter of what reads. You know, if something is coiled and gnarled and tangled up in a ball, it doesn't really read in silhouette very well now, does it? But if you're bold and straight and forward with the line of action, the center running down the body, it's a very simple thing to do. You can describe a person in one line, and it's, you know, it's a bit of a practiced art and a practiced ability, but once you just internalize it, it really makes drawing any hard subject a lot easier. Also, drawing mass, because there are some days where you'll be, you know, sharp as a tack, and you'll get up firing on all cylinders and able to do all these details, you know, you have a great day. And then there are other days where you will wake up feeling like you have fallen off a roof, because I have had many of those, and you can't barely hold your pencil and it squiggles. And that's okay too, because this is a perfect exercise, drawing the mass, filling a shape with squiggles, and getting the figure, you know, filling up. You know, you don't have to draw any actual facial features, you don't have to draw the fingers, you don't have to draw all these details. Get the gesture, get the shape, and it can be filled with squiggles as long as you figure out where the person is. That's what matters. And gesture drawing is another one, you know, a lot like line of action, but it's focused on the very broad strokes. A lot of scribbles, a lot of quick... These kind of drawings and things like that, this is where, as an artist, you look at an image, you look at a person, and you see what makes the essence of them. You see, well, this person has their hands on their hips, and they're standing up like Superman, and they're jutting out forward, so you very quickly make, you know, you can make stick figures, whatever, make the gesture, make the simplest things, and try and capture that. Then you build on with that. You add tubes for dimension and musculature and all this stuff. And the final one is contour line. Now, this is something that we actually took classes on when I was, in art classes and stuff, where you draw, have you ever tried to draw somebody from just the outline on the outside? And this is a thing when a lot of fresh drawing students try and draw. They try and draw everything perfect from the outside. You know, they don't draw the understructure. They don't draw, you know, the circle or the oval for the head, and then the line for the body, and then build a rib cage and stuff like that. They go the cheek, the jaw, then the neck, and it's like a very scratchy, very slow. And, you know, as an animator, this was an important thing, was to be able to draw simple and fast first. Get the figure down, and then you can spend forever going back in and adding details and focusing ever so much on the chiaroscuro shading and stuff like that. And the contour line is kind of one of the last steps in regular traditional drawing. I mean, there's obviously going to be shading and stuff like that, but, you know, if you're drawing with, like, a black marker, the contour line is kind of the, you know, you've got the line of action, maybe, the mass and the gesture, and then you've got the contour with that big, beefy, bold, sharpie, shh, 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 you know. Now, some tips on drawing. This is some just stuff on how to keep things from screwing you up, and also things to look for. You know, if you're drawing somebody's portrait, every once in a while, flip it upside down. Because then, I've done this before where I've made a, you know, start drawing a person's portrait and I just flip it and then I just start seeing values and lines and trying to make things even overall. And you stop seeing the face. You know, this is important because, you know, a lot of times when you're drawing a face, you get really hung up on, this doesn't look like them. And really you should be focusing on, well, this line shows that this figure right here is too fat. I'm just going to make this thinner. And you really, it's a real, I don't want to say Zen because Buddhists would get mad. You know, it sounds hippy-yippy and, you know, a lot of the bad interpretation of what Zen is. But you stop thinking so much as you go to feeling with the art. And you go, this isn't right because, and you don't have to sit and explain why, you just correct it. And it's a lot, you know, when you flip a drawing upside down, you know, especially a face or, you know, a figure, is it turns it away from being the thing that you knew, you know, being this thing that you can recognize. Because as humans, we're built into our DNA to recognize faces and recognize, you know, our like-minded people. You know, it's a thing we had as, you know, hunters and gatherers, and you'd have to be running from, you know, a lion and whatnot, and then you would find another human and you'd seek them for shelter and all that stuff. And we'll see, you know, as Scott McCloud's pointed out in his great book, Understanding Comics, you know, like, how few lines do you need to see a face? Dot, dot, smile. There's a face. You look at an outlet. People see those eyes looking at me? Because you want to see that. And if you want to stop looking at your drawing as a face, and look at it as a drawing, as how well is this a representation of what I'm seeing in front of me on this paper? Because, you know, just like listening to a voiceover artist, you know, voice directors often have to, like, close their eyes or look away because the impersonation is like, oh yeah, he really looks like, you know, Jimmy Durante. That's not going to come across in the voiceover. You know, it's like, it's a matter of how well in the voice can they sound like this person. And it's the same way with drawing. How well can your drawing represent the thing you're looking at or the thing in your head? And if you take it away from being that thing for a minute and try and go, oh, all my lines are wibbly-wobbly, that's, I can fix that. Yeah. Also, if you're working digitally, flip your drawing left to right, right to left, or, you know, if you're drawing traditionally, flip it over and look through the sun, looking at the other side, just flip the drawing, and because you can draw something totally right-looking when it's facing one direction, and then you flip it, and it's like, oh my gosh, there was a lot of lean. You know, this person's head is really warped to this side. What's going on? And that just happens when drawing. Also, it's a good idea just to physically step back, you know, a couple feet or so, or, you know, from across the room. Depends on how big your image is. But look at it and go, oh yeah, yeah, that's it. Because if you get up close on an image, you can really get focused on the small stuff there, and not so much the overall, like, you know, like, I'm obsessed with getting this one eye right, and then, oh wait, the two eyes together don't match, or I've rendered this one eye beautifully, and then the other is floating up on his forehead. So, you gotta step back. You know, sometimes just squinting and blurring and distancing yourself from the image, you know, and sometimes you just need to take a break and walk away for a little bit and come back and you go, huh, why did I draw that mustache on that dude? That's that ain't right. Yeah, there's stuff like that. Look at things in relation to each other, too. You know, after a while, there's kind of, you get these little artistic tics where you're just like, okay, if I get this right, then I'm never going to mess this up ever again. Because, you know, you learn the distance of the forearm, and the bicep, and the knees, and the shins, and all this stuff. And overall, you learn averages of things. You start realizing, well, if their shoulders are this broad, then their arms need to be about this length, because that's how human bodies work. You know, the arm span from middle finger to middle finger spread out is roughly about a person's height. It's, you know, it's roughly. There are people with outrageously huge hands because stuff grows independently of each other. You know, one person's right arm might be a little longer than left. You know, stuff like that. But overall, things are proportionate to each other. You know, you don't see a guy with huge arms and then tiny legs, usually, unless something happened to him, right? So, overall, for the majority of people, there's things are all relative. So once you get an idea of what makes, you know, a little kid's relative, you know, leg length and height and all this stuff, what makes that different from a man's and a woman's and all these other different things. Also, when you're drawing, think of mass, shape, volume, light and shadow. Don't think so much in this person, you know, this looks like, oh, this guy. You want to try and get a likeness of the thing you're drawing. You want to distance yourself from it as a person. I mean, you know, caricature and stuff like that, that's a little bit different. I'm still trying to get better at that. I understand that there's things you can, you know, expand upon and contrast and do with a person's likeness where, like, oh, that looks more like him than him, you know? Light and shadow and all this stuff, don't get so hung up on making a good drawing just because, oh, every drawing I do has to have a thick, bold outline. It's like, no, every drawing you do has to be good. You know, there's a lot of things you get hung up on, and it's important to think about trying to represent the thing that you're drawing, you know, because it's way too easy to start. You know, you always draw, you know, there's shortcuts everybody makes for a character walking, for a guy with his arm behind his back, and it's like, you know, draw some understructure, practice it, have fun with it. And also, let's talk about reference. Now, the key thing every art instructor is going to tell you, draw from life. And this is important. You know, observe, see how things look, watch how people are. You know, get people to pose for you when you can. And I'll tell you right now, they're not usually going to. You know, I try to draw in crowds and stuff before, and people move a lot. And people, you know, if they notice you looking at them, it gets awkward. Very, it's like, hey, I'm just trying to do a drawing of you. No, you're not. And they run away. And it's like, I understand people can have their personal space, but man, people, I don't know, maybe I'm just imposing my, you know, how I think everyone's thinking on how I'm sitting there, and I think everyone's noticing me staring, but if you're the guy sitting there with a sketchbook, try sitting there for a while without somebody walking up going, hey, are you doing a drawing? Can I take a look? Can I see? Can I have one? So, but yeah, drawing from life is important. I just say this as an artist because, you know, I was all right at drawing. There's a lot of competition in the art world, and, you know, some of it's from other artists, and some of it's people that are, you know, who just like to see a lot of competition and a lot of fighting and a lot of hoopla and stuff like that. And, you know, this all goes back to the mindset issue. But it's like, you know, in art, we should all be trying to make something good. And there's a lot of people, you know, I come in and go, hey, you know, I'd like to do some art too. You know, I ran this in school a lot. It'd always be like, oh, you're not the art guy in class. I am the art guy. I'm the guy who always drew all the time. And we had this discussion before about what happens to the person who was just known for drawing because they didn't have any competition. They didn't have any, you know, anybody challenging them. And it's like, you know, I can respect healthy, you know, everybody, we're all trying, you know, if we're all coming in on like a drawing class and we're all posting our art on the wall and doing critiques and we're all going, hey man, I really like that. And, you know, maybe I should try and take up some of what you're doing with this. You know, if that's a healthy attitude, but it's really challenging and detrimental when it becomes, oh, I have to defend myself against these vultures and they don't, nobody understands me. It's like, oh boy. You know, artists, go figure, artists are very peculiar and, you know, sensitive and very hurt, easy to hurt a lot. Because, you know, if all we artists could actually go out and communicate without having to make things, if we could just express our ideas just, you know, through some other means, we probably wouldn't be sitting there drawing and making things, because when you can make your own little world, it's a lot more fun to avoid human contact. Oh boy. But anyway, this is a big long ramble rant. Let's talk about reference, as I was saying. In my opinion, life is obviously the most helpful. If you have models and drawing classes, this is one thing I recommend: going to a drawing group, getting a drawing group, finding a model and paying them to pose for a while, because drawing from an actual life model is very useful. It'll teach you a lot about how to draw a person. And you'll figure out a lot, and you just really appreciate it a lot. Following that, you know, One step down the rung on the ladder is photo reference. Now, photos, you know, I've listed before some of my favorite photo reference places. There's, you know, a nice DeviantArt for stock poses of humans. There's a pose gallery I really like to use. I'll link those in the blog because, again, this is talking about art, so it's going to be a visual discussion, so check out the blog. And then below that is somebody else's drawing and diagrams and stuff like that. Like, when you're trying to study how to draw a skeleton, you know, get it, you know, it's good to have the actual, you know, science class example, you know, skeleton. Because when I was in a drawing class where we had to draw, you know, muscles and bones and stuff like that, it was nice to have the actual skeleton in front of you, because if you try and draw from, like, you know, a biological textbook with the diagrams and stuff, that's not very helpful. You can't reposition that. You can't get an idea how the light would affect that. And also, if you're just copying somebody else's drawings, you know, there's that old saying that you're not only copying their mistakes, you're throwing in your own. And just really, you know, other people's art is a good jumping off point. It gives you ideas for stuff you would like to do for your own, but it's a good idea to find reference. And there's a lot of easy ways to find reference these days. Google image search, you know, was my best friend in college, and I had a professor that knew it and knew that about everyone else in class. Like, ah, that just looks like an image search on the internet. And it's like, you know, don't just copy what you see. Use it. Don't be a slave to reference. Use it as a jumping off point. You know, find something. It doesn't even have to be a direct thing that you're looking for. Like, you want to figure out how to draw somebody's body in this pose, and you can't find, like, you need to draw a woman, but all you can find is a dude. Well, the dude's the jumping off point. You find that pose, and then you find a woman with the features that you're trying to find, the muscle build that you're trying to find, and apply it to that pose. And that's the part about being an artist. It's not a crime to use reference, because a lot of people think it is, and that's just stupid. I mean, there are people who do it to a criminal level. People that trace references, that's a problem. Don't just do that. But you want to use references not as a crutch, but as a jumping off point. So that's it for this week. Thank you all for listening. I'll see you all on the other side. More, visit NoRightsProductions.com. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/NoRights. And hey, why don't you check out my Tumblr at NoRights.tumblr.com.